You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
Let me come in.
Oh, come on in, Swag. Water's warm in here, buddy.
Why don't you come on in.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm going to configure your widget.
I'm all alone over here. I feel like I'm in the corner watching right now.
It's breakfast time.
Hey. Swag's going to go configure Dirt's widget.
Oh, my Lord.
Dirt and Sprague.
He configured both our widgets.
Oh, buddy.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube.
This is a football nightmare, brother.
A lot of people saying that after one weekend. It's so good to have it back in our lives. It delivered catches and no catches, bad offense, games coming out of the wire, bad coaching decisions. Wonderful opening weekend of college football.
Got good news for you.
What do you got?
First of all, we haven't even talked about the biggest upset.
What was the biggest upset?
My Nelson Hawks.
Yes, on Friday night.
Lake Ridge.
Shocking yes. Upset in the ranks of high school football.
26-21. Oh. I saw the score after I got back from the hops. I had to text it. I go, what the hell happened?
You know what I didn't hear? I didn't hear a lot of tackle by a Swigard. I didn't hear any of that.
You know what the people in Lake Ridge were saying on Friday night?
Hell no.
Oh, hell yeah. They were not happy about that outcome.
Nimick was like, explain to me how this is happening. I'm like... They're tackling the hell out of this big running back, and they can't stop Malachi Garlington.
Nimick picked Lake Ridge to win the state championship. It's almost as bad as picking Kansas State in the preseason dirty poll and watching them nearly lose at home to North Dakota. It's almost like that happened. Wow. Dodged a bullet there.
Did Nimick jinx Lake Ridge?
Ooh, is it the Nimick curse now? If he picks you to win the state title, you don't want him to stay away? Stay like the old SI cover? You don't want to be on that at the beginning of college football?
It was a great effort by us Nelson fans because what people don't talk about, Nelson High School built their stadium incorrectly. They built the stadium facing the west. Where does the sun set?
Yeah. Sunset's in the west.
Yeah, guess what's blinding the entire home crowd for half the game?
You know, you got another month of that, then the sun will start going down
to
3:15.
How do you not look at that structurally and say, let's not face the sun, let's make the opponents face the sun?
Why don't we go the other way for a night game? That's pretty good, you know?
But other than that, they did an exceptional job.
Well done to Nelson. Shout out to all the high school kids who kicked off their seasons this week. I saw Nick Krupke back on the beat for Friday Night Lights on Friday. His top 10 plays, I saw that. The highlights
Anthony
all over the
Newman's 1-0.
He's 1-0, downplaying it, you know. Next man up, next week, we're on to whoever the hell they're playing this week.
Also, Newman says that Ducks win by 40, but he won't give a score prediction?
No, he does not make a score prediction on the pregame show. He's not.
But he'll just say they win by. What's the difference?
You know, there's a difference.
If I say you're going to win by 50, but you won't give me a number, why is that?
Is that 80 to 30 or is that 50 to nothing? It could be anything. You think it's going to be a shutout? I almost hit my pregame score prediction on the nose. I said 52 to 14.
You were close.
I was pretty close, 59-13.
Maybe he had better offense. You could have scored 73 like USC.
You know, we didn't quite have USC level of offense. We all know when USC plays good in week one, it translates to the rest of the year, just like their win over LSU translated into a 7-5 season last year. Let's get to the Huskies, who... played on Saturday
Speaking
night.
At 7-5.
God, it feels so good to be back, doesn't it?
It's going to be nice when the NFL can, like, wash out the disgusting, awful football out of our mouths from Saturday,
yes,
too.
That will happen this weekend because it's a bad slate in college football. There will be upsets because that always happens, but there's not a lot of games you go in saying, ooh, that should be a good one.
Let's find three games each from this weekend's college slate at the end of the week that we can nail down.
Not
and say,
including your game. Your team's game.
Yeah, not including your team's
like,
game.
Because I would say, oh, okay, of course I'm going to watch Oregon, Oklahoma State.
No, a game off the beaten path.
Off the beaten path.
That we're not thinking about.
Huskies played on Saturday night. Do we have any takeaways from their win over Colorado State other than Jay Norvell being an idiot? It was a game that was back and forth that it felt like they should have been up by more, but they weren't. And then you're like, wait, Colorado State has a chance to cut this to a one possession game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It was an interesting night. What do we make of the Huskies in their debut?
Damon Williams, very up and down. I had moments where I'm like, yes, yes.
He's so athletic, dude.
And then I have other moments where I'm like, why?
Yeah.
And Jonah Coleman's a stud.
He's a bowling ball.
That's about it.
Okay.
Defense, kind of what I expected. I wasn't stunned that Colorado State was able to keep up with them at the beginning. And I was waiting for the breakaway point at some point, and it happened in the second half. But it did finally happen.
It did, yeah. I mean, it was... There's good things and bad things to take away from every game that you watch. If I'm a Husky fan, one, the Damon Williams stuff would get me hyped. I would be slightly fearful of just him in the pocket as a passer because of his size.
Well, like, do you worry about him trying to be too much of a playmaker?
I do worry about him taking too many hits because he took a lot of hits. He took a lot of sacks. And some of that is still on him because I thought their offensive line played better. He just sometimes he just kind of stands in the pocket and holds onto it too long and drifts backwards. There's a little
bit of that. He creates his own pressure in a way. Yeah.
Instead of just like being active and, you know, moving your feet and not being a statue back there at times, because when he is athletic, he's damn near impossible
his
to stop.
His numbers are good though on paper,
dude,
man.
They were 18 solid.
18-24, 226.
He threw some dimes in that
average.
Game. He threw some, had some great, you know, broken plays where he avoided rushes. He had some great scrambles. Like he showed you, he's another one of those guys. And I'm like, damn it, I wish he wasn't a Husky because he'd be a lot of fun to root for. Undersized little, you know, jitterbug kind of quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
The standing in the pocket stuff would concern me at times. I think there's a game plan of like, if you can try and find a way to enclose it around him, I don't think he can see the field very well. Offensive line is a major plus. They look much better than they did last year. Their ability to run the football was evident. They ran for nearly 300 yards as a team. It wasn't just Coleman, but he was the main candidate of that. Boston is a stud and will catch everything in his direction.
See, I think Boston can have an even bigger impact
without
as the season
doubt.
Goes on. Damon gets a little more comfortable. Easy go-to guy, and he wasn't that game.
I would say the two concerns I would have is, one, your defensive line looks like a sieve, and that's going to be a problem when you play bigger, more physical teams, and that was a concern for them last year, and I don't know how they addressed it, and so good luck in that category against bigger teams this year. And then the other part of it is, like, we talked about this with some of the DNA traits from last year to this year, like, can you get away from them? Washington did a lot of stuff last year to shoot themselves in the foot. Like, they cost themselves a lot of games with dumb... What was it, the Rutgers penalty? It was, like, too many men on the field or whatever it was. A lot of dumb penalties that cost them in moments.
Mm-hmm.
And then here they have a drive at the end of the... They're up 14-7.
Mm-hmm.
They're driving to make it a two-score game. Worst-case scenario, you're up 17-7 or maybe 21-7, and then you get the ball to start the second half. And what happens? You hike the ball to your quarterback when he's not ready, and it's a fumble, and then Colorado State scores in a game that you probably should have separated at the end of the first half is now 14-14 going into the locker room. You know, hey, it's week one, so I'm not going to be overly critical of anything. They won the game by 17 points and pulled away late. But there's little moments like that of, is that who you're going to be again this year? Are you going to shoot yourselves in the foot a lot? Because if you are, you're not going to hit your ceiling on what you could accomplish. And maybe it's a defensive line that dooms them. But positive takeaways and negative takeaways, similar to a lot of teams. But that was a big one for me of, you did a lot of boneheaded stuff last year, the Kosky games, and here you were with a boneheaded move, and a lot of kind of sacks were that way too, and penalties. They just kind of kept Colorado State in the game when it shouldn't have been a game.
There's two things I had. One is the optimistic viewpoint of it. They did separate late, right? And it's nice to see them win by that margin. They also covered, or they didn't cover for our Pac-12 picks against
the
spread.
Yeah, Colorado State covered.
Colorado State, look, they're never going to be off the charts top 25. I certainly don't think Norvell is a top whatever coach. They're always a feisty team, and they're one of those teams that can kind of be a thorn in the side. They're annoying. But the defensive line being exposed for what it was, and I know you can look at the stats and say, what, 80, what did they finish, 85 rushing yards?
Yeah.
But you could just watch it and see that they were able to move the ball on the ground.
It's a box score game where if you look at it and then I tell you the game is nearly a one possession game in the fourth quarter, you're like, what? And that would be my fearful takeaway of like, you can get away with it. It's one game. It's week one. You're going to have mistakes. I get it. You do that against Ohio State, you're going to lose by 40.
I agree. But now here's the beauty of it. Colorado State, for your non-conference opponents, was your toughest test.
Oh, yeah. It's a cakewalk the rest of the way.
Because you should wax Washington State based on what we saw.
And they get UC
and
Davis.
And UC Davis is this weekend. So, like,
they'll be 3-0.
You get two more games to clean it up. Now, look, are you Ohio State ready? Absolutely not. I don't know how I feel about that game at all. I probably don't feel great. But I'm optimistic in the, if you can clean some of your areas up where you were sloppy or not as good, 7-5, 8-4 is right there.
They have the talent, especially on offense, to do it.
I don't know if I'm quite at 9-3 was my other takeaway. I don't know if that had me walking away feeling confident about 9-3, but I also don't know. Maryland's starting a freshman quarterback, and he looked great, but that was Florida Atlantic. Michigan's got a freshman quarterback. We'll see on Illinois. Wisconsin's terrible. Purdue is terrible. UCLA doesn't look good. So 8-4, 9-3 might still be in the cards. Is it possible that you are 7-5, but you feel better about 7-5 than you would have going into the year?
Could be.
That's not an impossibility either. I think a lot of it depends on the growth and maturity of DeMond at quarterback and not taking bad sacks or feeling like every play has to be a home run.
Yeah.
And then the defensive line and defensive front in general, find a way to slow the run game down a little bit more. Man, you can clean that stuff up. You can find yourself in a really good spot by the mid to end point of your season.
Interesting game against Ohio State coming up at the end of the month. What a weekend that's going to be. Oregon, Penn State, Washington, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia.
And Alabama, Georgia is the same time as the Penn State, Oregon game?
Yes, it is. They're both 4:30 games. I want to say there's one other one in there, maybe like LSU, Ole Miss. There's one other game that weekend, too. It's a hell of a Saturday of college football. Coming up at the end of September, Huskies start out 1-0. Let's get to the mail sack. It'll be a quick one-segment sack today. We don't have time for two.
Okay.
We got too much football still to get to. I want to dive back into the Ducks and Beavers. We've got some landing audio and some Bray audio. They haven't played yet, so we'll do that coming up at 9:30. But next, it is the mail sack. Get your questions in. We'll get to them as many of them as you can in one segment. 503-864-6326. Sack is next on The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
All right, welcome back in. We'll dive back into Oregon and Oregon State coming up at 9:30. So about 12 minutes from now, you'll hear some more from Dan Lanning talking about all the young guys that played, and also Dante Moore making his first start in an Oregon uniform.
Oh, hey, okay.
We know who the starting quarterback is at Oregon now.
Yeah.
Do you know it's Dante Moore?
Confirmed.
Confirmed. My source is confirmed. Dante Moore is the starter.
We got to talk about the other team?
I mean,
this is a football nightmare, brother.
I got one bit of audio I'll play for you, and then if we don't want to address it, we don't have to. But I got a soundbite I'll play for you.
We also put a poll question up, Hot Take Tuesday.
Yes.
Will Oregon State make a bowl game?
Oh.
Yes or no at Durton Spring?
I still vote yes. Back half of the schedule's manageable. I think they win this weekend, and I'm going to vote yes on that poll question.
Okay.
But you can go vote at Durton Sprague on Twitter. Let's get to the mail sack, shall we?
Mm.
Here we go. Quick mail sack for today. Turn and burn. Mail sack question. Will we now hear Ryan Day's wife deny that he has pierced nipples like she denies he dyes his beard?
I mean, he's going to be asked about this, right? At some point, he's going to address this. It was too big on the internet to completely ignore.
It's pretty obvious, yeah.
I give you a take. It probably is pierced, and maybe he's already said he has a pierced nipple, and I just don't remember the quote.
Yes, he come out and acknowledged it.
I was wondering if it was a shave bump. Does he shave the hair around his nipple, and are those like just very big bumps from shaving? I understand what a pierced nipple looks like, yes. But I also am wondering, a football coach with a pierced nipple?
You excited if you see a pierced one out in the wild? Did that used to excite you back in the day? Like, ooh, hey. Spicy.
Oh, from a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go home, float that one with the wife when you get home today. Hey, babe, what do you think?
No.
Breastfeeding days are over.
No. I dare you to go home and say that.
Try one out. Sure, that'll go over well. All right, let's. You know what? Sticking on the theme, we got multiple nipple ones. Mail sack question: would you ever get your nipples pierced to celebrate a big moment? We all know that Dirt has a nipple fetish. Whoa!
You just basically admitted it.
Erroneous.
Yeah.
I have very big nipples. I'm very self-conscious about my nipples.
Oh, I have a buddy that's like this. I like to go shirtless on the last Hood to Coast leg with no music.
He's got big nipples, too.
And he won't go shirtless because he's so insecure about the way his nipples look.
If it's a certain temp in terms of coolness, I will, because then they'll harden up and then I don't have to worry about it. But if it's warm out, we're keeping those things under wraps.
You're more insecure about your nipples not being hard?
Yeah, if they're hard, they're okay. They don't look as big when they're hard.
Do you have innies?
Don't pull that. No, I don't. They're very outies.
I had a friend that had two innies. Kind of blew our minds.
Dude, I'll trade you for innies immediately.
It looked like his boobs had sucked them in. Reverse. Dude, you got nipples? What
kind of nipples you got, Swag?
I think I got normal.
I think they're pretty normal.
Pretty normal nipples?
I.
Would you ever pierce your nipples?
No.
No. I don't think I would either.
You know how I am about needles.
Yeah,
and,
that's a good point.
No.
That's a good point.
Oh, yeah. I'm not.
Anti-needle.
No, I'm not a nipple piercer. I'm not anti-nipple piercer. What makes you more turned on, tattoos or nipple piercings?
Because
I think I like the art a little more than the nipple piercing.
Me. Any kind of tattoo? Or does it matter where?
No, any kind of some ladies.
Like a butterfly on the ankle does it for you?
I mean, that doesn't do a lot for me. Okay. I think I like some tattoos.
Okay.
I don't know what a nipple piercing does for me. Like, want a little metal in your mouth?
We'll play with it. Probably tattoos.
Okay.
Probably tattoos.
Neither.
Just like them as is, huh?
Just normal.
The way God intended.
That's right.
All right. Nice birthmark.
The way Jesus molded you.
That looks like the state of Texas.
Mail sack question. Was Sean McDonough trying to bang CJ Carr's mom after talking about her 40,000 times during the Notre Dame-Miami game?
I don't know. Was Gus Johnson trying to get with Arch's mom? Because I felt like both of them were doing the same thing.
Was I the only one who wasn't aware of the Lloyd Carr-CJ Carr connection? I didn't connect those dots for some reason.
I said that on the show last week.
Did you really?
Once they named him, that was.
Now, is he in a condition where he can't travel? I was surprised he wasn't there.
I don't know.
Not.
I don't know.
Is he with us?
Or
Yeah. Lloyd Carr.
Lloyd Carr's not dead.
I rooted for Lloyd Carr back in the day.
Like, Lloyd Carr's alive.
Yeah, I'm not saying he isn't.
Lloyd Carr's alive.
I was a little surprised he wasn't there.
80 years old, Lloyd Carr.
Okay, so maybe he doesn't travel as much.
He might not. He could have been there maybe in a different spot. Maybe he's in a suite. They want to sit in the stands. I don't, you know, who knows.
He had a nice little fade going on. I'm liking the vibe CJ Carr has.
Okay, all right. Mail sack question. A few things irk me as a sports fan more than the stadium arena flashing the lights on and off when a team scores, whether it's NFL, college football, or junior hockey. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
What is your random sports ick or thing that just rubs you the wrong way? I'm wondering why the lights turning on and off rubs you the wrong way. I think those are pretty cool.
Well,
if you get seizures,
I'd imagine that's not fun.
Well, yeah. He didn't say he's getting seizures out of it.
Well, he didn't say he got a seizure.
He says
but
it irks him. That's a little bit different. But yes, if it gives you a seizure, I understand not enjoying it. I wish my team did it. My team doesn't do light shows at night games.
Well, you got to get the LED lights.
Yeah, I know. It's a special thing.
The
you
Mariners
guys do light
do
shows.
The light show when they have a home run.
I love getting the lights dark, having some fireworks go off. Yeah. Like, dude, have fun. It's sports.
I would say the thing that irks me is probably the over usage of fireworks.
Oh, okay. Anti-firework guy, huh?
Does everything need to be a firework?
Maybe it does, man.
Here comes your team. Touchdown. We won.
The irony of this is I've never been to a stadium that had more fireworks than your baseball team.
No, I know.
When I was in Atlanta, I was blown away. They did like a firework for every strikeout. Every strikeout in the game, a guy strikes out, and it's like the first time you hear it, you're like, is that gunshots? And you're like, oh, no, they're just doing a fireworks show for a strikeout in the top of the first inning.
For me, it is clearly the incessant soundtracks that run during play of an NBA game.
Oh, the music's been ridiculous.
Bum, bum, bum,
and it's
bum.
Loud
bum, bum,
as
bum, bum,
hell.
Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. How do you not like that? Come on, man.
It's
get
too much.
Mob in your head while you're watching
it's
the game.
Every possession.
It is
all
way too
the
much.
Damn
it used to
time.
Be a good Oregon then, once in a while.
What happened to the Oregon? Can we make the Oregon great again?
The Knicks still have an Oregon.
They still do. Yeah. Staples Center still does.
Yeah.
Why would bring, everybody should be. I'm a commissioner of sports. There's my ick. Everybody has an Oregon.
I'll give you one more ick that you're not going to agree with.
Okay.
I don't like. Now, they do a good job of it, but I don't, as a sports fan, particularly love. When the PA announcer has to tell me the most obvious thing. Time out, Lakers! Third down! I know.
Yeah, I know.
I should be loud.
It's a big moment.
Do I need?
I'm cheering. I don't need a reminder. I'll give you another one from NBA games, too, when you could hear the voice track of defense.
Yeah,
that's
it's just all that stuff, and then
like a weird robotic voice.
Pump it in so loud.
Defense, defense.
Isn't that Utah? Dude, I think Utah does that worse than anybody else.
It sounds just like
dude. It's so bad. You're like, I know, defense.
That was like a bad robot. That's exactly how it sounds.
It's very weird. I don't know who created that.
I also get mildly. I found out through the being at a Niner preseason game, my NFL team and my college team do the same thing. Every first down. And it's like they're already about to snap it on the next first down.
He didn't do it enough Saturday night.
This is a football nightmare,
yes,
bro.
It is.
I remember being a student going, you guys do this every first down?
Every time, huh? Hopefully doing it a lot, but sometimes
well,
not.
We weren't doing it a lot on Saturday.
Not enough. Certainly not enough.
Mailsack, full disclosure, I'm a diehard Beaver fan who also dies a little bit more inside every time Oregon wins. It's been rough, but honest question, we've seen what's happened to the Blazers post-Paul Allen. What do you honestly think Oregon's future looks like post-Phil Knight?
I think there's going to be an estate set up. Phil Knight doesn't dictate the talent on the
team.
He's
donated
got a lot
of so money, much, man. And there's, I mean, they put some into an endowment beyond just, you know, using the money as soon as he gives it to him for.
Let me
what did
he just
that.
Give to the cancer? What did he just donate? $2 billion to cancer? Like,
yeah,
I don't think the money's going to dry.
Let me also add,
time soon.
He doesn't dictate the team in terms of Dan Lanning knows the talent that they need to bring in.
Yeah.
Now, Kilkenny spends way more than people talk about.
Yes, he does.
There are, I think, through this Phil Knight booster run, you have now created even more boosters that spend even more money because, to Dan Lanning's point, you want to spend to win. I don't think that money's going to stop even once Phil, you know, passes
away. We spend
away.
To win.
I think there's going to be something set up trust-wise, and I think you just look at the coaching staff to continue to bring in the right guys for whatever the right price
is. And also, what does the future of the sport look like, right? I mean, are we in a collective bargaining era when Phil Knight dies, or do we have a union of college players? Is it all money directly from universities through TV contracts? Like, that's the other part of it. We just don't know when that's all going to happen. But no, I think what I would say is, if you're one of those who is hopeful, you hate Oregon so much that when Phil Knight dies, you're going to say, here begins the downfall of the program.
They're building a new facility right now.
I don't think you're going to get what your wish is. But
I don't think that person's indicating that. I think they're more just asking, are you worried?
Sure. But I think there's fans like that exists out there of like, wait till Phil Knight goes away. And it's like, you think he's just going to, what do you think he's going to do with his money?
Isn't he worth like $100 billion?
He's got a lot of money, man. He just donated $2 billion for cancer research. Yeah. Mail sack, two more quick ones. Did Arch Manning hurt his potential to win the Heisman this weekend? And did anyone else jump out to you guys for a Heisman candidate?
Nussmeier is probably, I think he's the betting favorite now, Nussmeier.
I just pulled it up on FanDuel. So Nussmeier's plus 800. If you're wondering where.
I think Sellers is going to be in this
Sellers
conversation.
Sellers is number two. He's plus 1,000. Then it goes Carson Beck.
I don't think Arch is going to win it.
Gunnar Stockton is fourth in Heisman odds. What?
His number? I think his numbers are pretty good. They blew out a nobody.
Dude, he didn't do a lot in that game.
Oh, really?
He was like four. He ran the ball a lot. He was like 14 of 24 for 100 something yards.
Oh,
and a
maybe
touchdown.
It was his running numbers I saw.
They had a long touchdown to Zachariah Branch. And Branch might end up being the game changer that they need on offense that they got from USC. I would go further down the list if I'm looking for a
Mateer?
Bet. John Mateer had a great opening game stat line wise.
They play Michigan this weekend too.
Devin Dampier, who we talked about going into the season at Utah, is a guy who I think is going to have a monster year for them. If they win the conference, he'll be in the mix. Castellanos at Florida State, you can get a plus 3,000. Like, there's guys a little bit. Jalen Daniels at Kansas. Like, those are the kind of guys I'd be more interested in putting bets in on than some one of these front runners.
I totally hear that. The only thing I would say though is I'm a little hesitant to bet on the guys at Utah and Kansas.
Yeah, it's a longer shot, no doubt.
I think you need like a historical season the way Travis Hunter did, because it's largely going to be the big main player programs that get that kind of love.
No doubt about it. There's your mail sack every Tuesday at 9:15. We usually double dip, but we're not going to today because I'm going to get back into Oregon and Oregon State. And the thoughts coming out of the first weekend of the college football season, Dan Lanning talked about the culture that his team has set from some of the signs that he saw on Saturday, and also a thought on Dante Moore's first game. And then Trent Bray was asked, why do you keep doing this? What's going on here? And he gave an answer after the game. So we'll hear from both Dan Lanning and Trent Bray. That's next. Well, we won't let it sidetrack the rest of the show, but Patrick Harris is out here heightening for his Great Notion Brewing pregame video. And, you know,
not good in that community to heighten.
Not in that situation, no.
But also, like,
he's standing on a milk crate.
I don't know how Danny looks like he's 8 feet and Patrick is 3 feet.
I didn't realize he was that small. I felt like Patrick and I were the same. Are we not the same height?
No,
I don't feel like Danny's that much taller than me.
I think Patrick and Schultz are the shortest people on the fan.
Are they?
Yeah.
Well, he's a heightener. I'm disappointed in you, P. Harris, but I still love you. Still love you, dog.
I was listening to the boys this morning.
Let's hear from your head coach, shall we? What's up with all those late defensive line substitutions you guys got going on? Running them on, running them off, running them on, running them off.
That was... I'm rooting for the team, and I'm like, yo, can you get off the field so we can play?
You take control of the pace of the game.
What?
You don't let the offense dictate it. Offenses will sub to try to get fresh players on the field and try to rush you. And within the rules, you get a chance to match that substitution. So anytime that Cal subbed, we subbed. And so it slowed down the game and slowed their pace down as they tried to dictate how the game was played. So that's why we did it.
How many points did they score?
I don't know.
I just like, okay.
Is he running a 2-3 zone? What are we doing?
15 is not in. 34 is what Cal scored.
Not in a great place right now.
I don't blame you, man. I don't blame you.
I don't want to give a hot take, but I kind of do, but I won't.
I know. There was a lot of people tweeting us this weekend. Things are not great. They could use a win on Saturday. I'll just say that. An impressive win on Saturday. I know. It doesn't change
the
lot in
life. You know, it's Fresno State, and you should win. And
I get it. I know. A loss this weekend might push everybody over the edge.
Oh,
you might. Most people might already be
there. There might be some people there now.
That are
given.
If you're not all the way over, or you're just standing looking over, and if you lose at home to Fresno State and fall to 0-2, and then you're staring an 0-4 start in the face.
But if you beat Fresno State and you lose the next two the way we all think you will.
Yeah, I would say going into the year.
And then you lose to Houston.
Sure,
you're still 1-4.
You are. That is very true. That is very true. Doesn't save anything. Maybe gives you another day to breathe.
Okay.
Here is Dan Lanton. Dante Moore made his start. Breaking news, Dante Moore is the starting quarterback for the Oregon Ducks. How about that? My sources have confirmed.
Yep.
Dante Moore under center. And here is the Danimal on Dante's first game starting behind center.
Yeah, I mean, there was several. You know, there were several plays. You know, the big catch by Jay there over the middle, that was an opportunity for him to redirect the protection and slide it away from a load front, which is pretty unique, you know. But, you know, he did a great job there and was able to hit an angle route there to Jay. But there were a lot of moments where, you know, the first read wasn't there and you see him going through the progression and getting to his second read, took care of the ball. There were very few ball in jeopardy type plays. I thought he made good decisions and looked really poised back there.
Could use and not do with some of those early game runs where he's taking hits. I'm like, is that really necessary against Montana State?
But well, one of those was his own doing. He ran for a first down and took a big shot. And
sometimes guys want to get hit to get into the feeling of a game. So there's that aspect of it too. Of like, once the contact starts, then you feel like you're engrossed in the game.
We have become. It's interesting as football fans.
We're so soft, dude.
We kind of are.
We
always used to see a play and be like, yeah,
jacked up.
The quarterback does it. Can you not do that,
dude?
Again?
It's Montana State. Don't take any unnecessary hits, please. What did we make of Dante Moore in game one? Did what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, it was exactly what I thought. We talked about it on Friday. I said, "Wait, his stat line was 200 some yards and 3 touchdowns." Yeah. We'd say that's great.
He looked in control, in command. A lot of that has to do with obviously the team around him versus what we saw at UCLA, but
without a doubt,
all of the things that we heard about was that he wanted to go to school and he wanted to learn, and all of those things looked like he was comfortable, he understood the game plan, he understood what they were trying to do, took his time. He didn't fall in love with one or two receivers. He spread the ball around. He was able to get off the first read to second and third reads when he needed to.
Hold this for maybe the Oklahoma State game, although I would argue you're not really going to have a real –
You should not have a test until the end of
Penn State.
Yeah, you should not have a big test until in Penn State.
I would say one takeaway, and maybe this is I think partial credit to Dante on this. One of the bigger questions for them – going into the year was the receivers, and albeit Montana State, and we'll see what Oklahoma State is this weekend, and then my beloved Beavers, I felt like targets were fine. They're hyper-athletic. They seem like they're all kind of on the same page. DeCorian seems like he's going to be the real deal for them in year one, and Sadiq had a man NFL touchdown. So I think my takeaway was you didn't walk away going, man, those targets.
Look, yeah.
It's Montana State, so it's hard to go too hard on that. But
hard to get a firm read on it.
I don't know if you're really going to have a clear-cut takeaway of Dante Moore as the quarterback until they go to Penn State.
Yeah, I'll echo what Swag said. He seemed very comfortable, and that's easy to do when you're not facing a lot of pressure and playing a team that you're better than literally everywhere on the field. So you take everything with a grain of salt in week one. But just the calm nature to him, nothing seemed too quick, didn't seem to rush through his reads. I love that Lanning pointed out, like, at the end of the game, and I think he might have even done it at halftime, they had their third drive where they got the block punt and they had to kick a field goal where he had a play where he escaped the pocket, was rolling out. There wasn't really anybody open and he decided to throw it away. And that's a play that Lanning celebrates because there wasn't anybody open and let's get points and don't force the
and
ball into the end zone.
And you understand time and situation.
Like, hey, whatever, take three. That's fine. And then there was the play that he highlighted to me it was the biggest highlight of Dante Moore because I think it's the question that I have coming into the year with the new quarterback of we saw Bo do it. We saw Dylan Gabriel do it as the year went on. Having the smarts to play the chess match at that position is a big part of playing that position at the highest level. And they had a third down early in the third quarter where it's third and long, I think, on their opening drive of the second half. And he flipped the protection. He called an audible. You could see he saw a look from the defense. He knew what they were going to do. He adjusted everything around it, and they hit Jay Harris on an arrow route coming out of the backfield for a 50-yard gain on third and long. Like, those are the moments to me that stand out of like, okay, he sees it. He's calling the right check. And yes, it gets different when you go on the road at Penn State. There's no doubt. I don't know if he's ready for that challenge yet. But little moments like that of more so than just throwing against air, which is what essentially he was doing the entire game. Do you have the smarts to go chess match against other defenses, and that was a nice sign for me.
I think partially what we're doing, though, is, and we'll get to it when we get to that game at the end of September, is we're talking so much about Dante, and we should, but I think what we're maybe not overlooking but not talking about enough is when they go into Penn State, it's not just going to say, well, Dante, Dante, Dante. There are so many stud athlete players on this team now that he has filled out with the transfer portal and his own recruiting that you're going to go into Penn State and you will say, okay, what's Dante going to be? and they can still overcome even if he's not perfect and win that football game.
It could be good enough around him.
Exactly. And I think that's the positive. I thought Lanning hit this in his press conference of how do you get a guy that at UCLA played as a true freshman, had these urges to just rely on a big arm and make a big play and at different points cost his team.
Yeah, threw a lot of picks.
And he basically said what you said of we celebrate every good moment that doesn't get highlight reel material.
Yeah, here I got a bit on that. There was also some stuff on the downfield blocking. Last one from Lanning, we'll play.
That's awesome because it's not natural, right? It's not natural. And he did it, but several guys did it in that game. And I'm really proud. You know, we talked about after the game, I'm really proud of the effort that our guys gave. Like, you want to see people play 100 miles an hour. And I thought we had a lot of guys playing 100 miles an hour on Saturday. But the way you block, again, tells me how much you love your teammates. And that guy blocked really hard, right? And there were several guys that blocked really hard on Saturday. And then we found some moments where, you know, some of us were buying a ticket and watching other people make plays instead of blocking, right? And those are the moments we got to continue to get better at and make sure that we're connected at the end of plays. But that was something probably early in the season last year we didn't do as good of a job of, and that was a big emphasis coming into this game. And at times we were going to the right people, at times we weren't, but we were finding ways to be connected at the end of plays, which is huge.
Just relentless effort. That's all you can ask out of your football team in week one. Mistakes will happen. Oregon had it, and now we find out what they do against Oklahoma State on Saturday. It's a bit of a dud weekend. And what time's the Beaver game on Saturday?
12:30 as well.
Oh, so they're both at the same time?
Yeah. Both at the same time. So how get in your car early.
Yeah, two home games because that traffic's going to blow.
Suck.
Yeah. But one game might go longer into the fourth quarter, whereas the other one might be over.
I mean, I'll leave
time.
After the show, so I'll get back probably around kickoff, and there won't be any traffic.
Well, you'll have
the other
no
way.
Traffic leaving when you leave.
I'll leave pretty early, yeah. That's I hate when that happens,
I'm going to go through the full list today because I knew it was a bit of a dud weekend.
There's a couple of off-the-radar ones that I'm curious to see if they will become something or not.
There is one team. God, we'll get to it tomorrow. But there is a ranked team
taking
on.
We can do that next if you want, because I'm planning on the back half of the week being a lot of NFL with the season kicking off on Thursday and then a full slate with a bad college football weekend slate
like
this weekend.
Illinois at Duke.
Oh.
Duke gave up on Murphy, and people don't talk enough about that. And that kid came in this past weekend. I think he had three touchdown passes.
He looked very good.
He looked good, and now you're getting a ranked team into your building. Noon kick, Diaz had a 9-win season. I'm just saying, if you're going to pant for something, how about
maybe
this?
I'm paying for that one now. I might be paying for that game now. All right, let's get to this now. Okay. We got to go. We'll get to that next. Also, one last bit of fun with audio from a coach who said, don't mess with our city. Boy, oh boy, did he back it up. And it connects to a local team. We'll get into that next. Close it up on the Fam.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Well, one coach and program learned something the hard way this weekend. But we'll get to Sprague's games to watch for college football this weekend.
I got a couple more.
So, looking at Oregon's schedule, they play Oklahoma State this weekend, which we talked about. Mike Gundy saying they spent $40 million on the roster last year. Dan Lanning said, you played UT Martin last week, so what the hell are you complaining about? The next week, do you know where Oregon goes before they play the Civil War? They have a conference game.
Yeah, they go to Chicago.
Chicago! Oh.
Yeah, I said
for
the
their
state
big nooner, their first big nooner.
There's a big nooner game.
That's the worst team in the Power Four.
So
it's not close.
Northwestern played Tulane this weekend.
They're worse than Stanford?
Yeah. They scored 3 points against a FC or a group of five.
Yeah, they did. That would be a fun battle to the death.
Well, I guess technically Stanford didn't do much better against a group of five either.
Did Stanford play this weekend?
They were completely
off my radar. I don't know.
Well, let's check.
Yeah, go see if they played. So, anyways, Northwestern played on the road at Tulane. One of the things that I didn't even think about was it's the 20-year anniversary at Katrina. Did that ring a bell in your guys' head?
I thought I saw ESPN doing some sort of E60 like or something.
Highlight package, top 10 moments. Your mind's on sports. I don't blame it.
I meant lowlights.
I know what you mean. You saying that was kind of funny.
Stanford did not play this week. No.
So Tulane hosted Northwestern. I guess 20 years ago in their first home game after Katrina, we all remember the Saints game, right? The Gleason block punt. Like nobody will ever forget that moment. Tulane, I guess, played a game and they decided to rebirth of the city. They wanted to wear all whites. They did in 2005. They wore all white uniforms. City came together. They rallied and won the game. It's this big moment that I didn't know about until this weekend in Tulane football. Mm-hmm. Well, it's the 20-year anniversary of that. So their coach, I guess John Summerall, I think is his name, reached out to Northwestern going into the game and was like, hey, man, it's a 20-year anniversary. We want to honor the Katrina stuff and we'd love to wear all whites again. You know what Northwestern told him?
No.
Pound sand. Yeah. Said, we're going to wear all whites. We don't care about you. And here's Summerall after the game.
You know, we wore the green helmets today for the 20th anniversary of Katrina. And I'm going to say one thing. I'm not trying to take a shot, but we requested to wear white jerseys because that's what that team wore. It got denied by the other team. That's their prerogative. But when you show disrespect to the city of New Orleans, that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to run into a team like this. They had a chip on their shoulder because I wanted them to wear the same exact uniform that team wore 20 years ago. Request got denied. We might have used that for a little bit of motivation to represent the city. So don't disrespect New Orleans ever.
Bro, we got them, boys.
Damn, dude.
Dude, Northwestern couldn't score a touchdown.
No.
They threw three or four interceptions. I wanted four picks, had a fumble. Like, they were a disaster.
Do you know who their quarterback is?
Oregon plays in 2 weeks. God, I watched the highlights of the game. I did the key play thing. I forgot about this kid. I know that
Preston Stone.
Preston Stone, thank you.
And by the way, Retzlav played, and he had 10 carries for 113
yards.
He
ran all over him. He shredded him on the ground.
Who needs to know the playbook when you can just run all over them?
Yes, that's who Oregon plays in 2 weeks. That should be a stiff challenge.
A little odd. Like, I guess I didn't know who chooses what. I thought home team got to choose jersey.
I think they usually do, but in a case where you want to wear something different than what you're traditionally wear, you need approval. Like, I think you can choose.
Okay.
Like, if we wanted to wear black or green or yellow, like if you're Oregon, you could do whatever you want. But if Oregon wanted to wear all white
or cow colors,
they'd have to, or easy. They'd have to reach out. It's unnecessary low blow, but I get it. Lash
it's the
out.
Only low blow I get.
You're mad at your dad. You're not mad at me.
I'm in football hell.
Well, and it might be something that gets negotiated in the non-conference games as part of the contract to do the game.
Because the team can't show it. Northwest is going to pack their white uniforms if you don't tell them. So you got to give them like a heads up of like, hey, can we wear whites this weekend? Can you guys pack your purples? And they said no.
You do have to ask, are they the worst team in the Power Four?
They're in the running. Stanford's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Like, let's not forget Bengal Branson is their starting quarterback.
Would you like to know, like, two of the worst 12 quarterbacks in college football according to PFF metrics?
Yeah.
Two quarterbacks that have started for Oregon State the last 2 years, Malik Murphy and Bengal Branson. Bengal Branson was the worst graded out quarterback from
he
week
really
one,
bad, dude.
Week zero, and Malik Murphy was, like, bottom 12.
He did really bad.
Here's a couple for
you. Yeah, what do you got this weekend?
Illinois at Duke.
Okay.
Keep that on your radar.
9 a.m. on ESPN.
Baylor SMU, and I don't like Baylor. I think Aranda sucks, but...
It's a C-dub game to WB.
I don't know if that talent profile...
It's only a 2.5-point
exactly.
spread.
How about Iowa State hosting Iowa?
Yes.
Iowa thinks they have a quarterback.
Yeah, I didn't see much of their game. They played Albany this weekend. That'll be one to keep an eye on.
Now, maybe they didn't throw much because they didn't have
to. They wanted to keep it in the bag.
And I'll give you
that much for stats.
I'll give you two more. Ole Miss at Kentucky. They lost to them last year at home.
They did.
And South Florida at Florida.
That's the one I'm looking at.
17.5-point underdog bowl.
Their boy Byram there.
There you go. Good little show.
Oh. And ASU at Mississippi State.
Did you see? Well, I got it. And I'll save it. Do you see Dillingham's comments about playing in Starksville yesterday? Starksville.
I didn't see
Vegas.
They have to stay an hour and a half away from the stadium because the only hotels nearby are casinos. And he's like, dude, I'm not having my players stay at a casino the night before the game. That'll do it for us. If you missed any of the show, go check the podcast, 1051thefan.com, 1051thefan on Twitter, and at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. We'll tweet it out as soon as we're done. Lots of thoughts on the Beavs, the Ducks, the Huskies, everything going on in college football. Thanks so much for being a part of our Tuesday. Thanks for watching on YouTube. Like the video, subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. We'll talk tomorrow at 6 a.m. The firm of Harrison Meringue with a heightener, Patrick Harris and Danny Meringue. Next, 105.1 The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.